I don't know if you heard or not, but there's a solar eclipse tomorrow. Have you heard about this? There's a solar eclipse. It's going to happen, okay? And please God, let it not be cloudy so you can see this awesome event. Well, obviously, we've known about this for a while. And in my bulletin article this weekend, I speak about the solar eclipse and some of the different facts about it that are quite interesting, but also some spiritual connections that I think we can make to this eclipse that is occurring. And I wrote the article not necessarily, you know, to scare people and whatnot, unless maybe you're not right with God and maybe you need to be scared. But I wrote it to give us some reflection and some thought to the reality that God has always used celestial signs in order to communicate himself to us in various ways. We see this happen throughout the scriptures. We know that when Jesus was on the cross, suffering and dying for our salvation, the sun was darkened for 3 hours. We know that the Star of Bethlehem is what led the Magi to the Christ child in Bethlehem. We know that in the book of Revelation, there are multiple times of the heavens being opened and doing different celestial things to communicate the magnificence of Almighty God. You know, in our day and age, let me take a step back. The use of these celestial signs oftentimes have been used and even believed by the pagan ancients as signs of an impending danger, as a warning from heaven. Now, whether or not what's going to occur tomorrow is a warning, or, you know, I don't think it's going to be the end of the world or anything like that, but I think there's a lot of things that are involved in it that we should probably pay attention to, or at least allow it to be an opportunity for some reflection. Because in our country, we need a warning. We need to be waking up. And God wants to offer his mercy to us. He wants to wake us up. He wants to shake us up to recognize the evil things that are going on in this country, in this glorious land of the United States of America, are these evils that are happening. And we know of these evils that are happening all throughout the United States. The first, of course, is the killing of the innocent children through abortion, the slaughter of the innocent, the widespread use of contraception, the breakdown of the family. So many evils that are occurring in our country. The promotion of the LGBTQ+ agenda that's being shoved down our throats. The mutilation of children who desire or are pressured into changing their gender. And the list goes on and on and on. There are so many evils in our country. And do you think God wants us to repent? Absolutely he does. Absolutely. Because he loves us. He doesn't desire our destruction. He desires our repentance. And we can look at this eclipse however we want to. Obviously, it's a natural occurrence that we've known about for a long time. But I think it should call to mind that God has used celestial events in order to give warning to communicate himself to us throughout history. And so I think it's worth paying some attention to. But there's one thing about it that I want to point out that I'll get to more expound upon here in just a moment. But first and foremost, it's interesting that tomorrow is the transfer feast of the Annunciation of the Lord. That moment in which the Holy Spirit overshadowed Our Lady, she became pregnant with the Christ child. I personally don't think it's by accident that this is all happening the same day, because, you know, it's all designed by Almighty God. But that feast day tomorrow is indeed the most important feast of our Lord, because it's when he took flesh in order that he might save us. But it's also a beautiful feast of Our Lady, who said yes to doing the Lord's will. But speaking about Our Lady, I think it's something I was reflecting upon over the last couple of days that is indeed worth noting and worth calling to mind. That in the dark times in which we live, in the evil times in which we live, we know that God desires our repentance. And if we look back through the entire history of the church, we recognize that during those darkest times, Jesus sent to us in those moments his secret weapon. And his secret weapon is his mama, is his mother. She is his secret weapon. So let's go back all the way to the beginning, at the darkness of the foot of the cross, when Jesus was dying for our salvation. What did Jesus do? In that dark moment, as one of his last acts before he died on the cross, he pulled out his secret weapon. He gave us his mother. He gave us Our Lady. Fast forward 50 days after the resurrection of our Lord, Whenever the church, the apostles and the disciples were gathered together in the upper room, gathering together and hiding for fear of the persecution of the Jews, right in the midst of them, as Jesus was about to send the Holy Spirit upon the church, right in the midst of them, who was there? Our Lady, His mother, His secret weapon, there to strengthen the church and to be a model for the church at prayer. Fast forward several centuries to about the 12th century, whenever there were various heresies that were going around at the time, including the Albigensian heresy, which St. Dominic fought against. And as St. Dominic began to preach against the Albigensian heresy, he was a failure. St. Dominic was an absolute failure in converting souls away from the Albigensian heresy. And so he went off for a time of prayer. And guess what Jesus did? Jesus sent St. Dominic his secret weapon, Our Lady. And it was through Our Lady that came to us, through St. Dominic, the great gift of the Holy Rosary. And Our Lady said, use the Holy Rosary for the conversion of these heretics. And that's what St. Dominic did. And he converted thousands and thousands of souls thanks to the recitation and the preaching of the Holy Rosary of Our Lady. God used his secret weapon for the conversion of souls. Several centuries later, in the aftermath of the Protestant Reformation, 1517, 14 years later, after hundreds of thousands of Catholics had fallen away from the Catholic Church and began following the Protestant religions, 14 years after that, what did Jesus do? He sent his secret weapon into action again. This time, he sent her to Mexico. And in a period of 10 years after the apparition of Our Lady Guadalupe and the miraculous image that appeared on Juan Diego's tilma, 10 years after that, 9 million souls were converted to Catholicism, that dwarfed the number that had fallen away from Catholicism in Europe. Several centuries later, following the French Revolution, which ravaged France and the church in Europe, God yet again sent his secret weapon. He sent his mother. He sent Our Lady to St. Catherine Labrée, the apparitions of the miraculous medal. And then several years later, sent her again to Lourdes, to St. Bernadette. And in those apparitions, and in the apparitions we've had the last couple of centuries, the constant message has been that of repentance, that of praying the Holy Rosary, that of turning away from sin to stop offending Christ, to stop offending her son, and to start living the gospel more fully. God has continually sent his secret weapon, his mother, in order to turn mankind away from sin and to turn towards more fully the living out of the gospel message. In the early part of the 20th century, more recent times, towards the end of the bloodiest war in human history up to that point, Jesus again sent his secret weapon into action as he sent his mother to Fatima, Portugal, to appear to three small children. And once again, she gave that message of the importance of repentance, that message of praying the Holy Rosary, of turning away from sin, to stop offending her son, and to live the gospel more fully. And there have been a number of souls who have listened to the messages of Fatima and have abided by them, and there are a number who have not. Now, brothers and sisters, God has continually sought to send us in the midst of the darkest of times. He has continually sought to send his mother to us, to turn us away from sin, to turn us towards repentance, so that we can live out the gospel message that we are called to. And so when this eclipse is occurring tomorrow on a feast day of Our Lady, when we look up to the skies, to this celestial event that's going to occur, we should keep a couple of things in mind. Number one, the moon has always represented who? Our Lady. The moon has always represented Our Lady. Why? Because just as the moon reflects the light of the sun, so too does Our Lady reflect the light of her Son, Jesus Christ. And what's going to happen tomorrow? Literally, the moon is going to be in between us and the sun. The sun has always represented Jesus Christ. So if we look at it from a spiritual point of view, it will be Our Lady standing in between us and her son. Because that is what she does. That's what she's done for us all throughout Christian history. She has always stood in between us and her son, interceding for us, making us return to our Lord all the more fully, so that we can live in the grace that Christ calls us to, so that he can be merciful to us, so that we can receive the gift of his mercy. Brothers and sisters, in our day and age, we need our mother. And Jesus Christ has continually used this secret weapon of his in order to destroy the powers of evil, to bring us to repentance, to bring us into a deeper union with her divine son, Jesus Christ. So brothers and sisters, whatever all this means, I don't know, it's only known to God. And you probably think, like, Father, you are insane. You just wasted an entire homily on us. We can't get that 15 minutes of our life back. But brothers and sisters, I think this stuff is worth reflecting upon. Because God has done this stuff all through history. What's to say he'll never do it again? So let us, brothers and sisters, on this Divine Mercy Sunday, let us benefit from the many graces that God is offering to us on this day. Let us look to him as the God of mercy, because before he wants to be a God of justice, he wants to be a God of mercy. To call us to himself, to call us to his sacred heart, so that we can be saved, so we can enjoy that union with him. Brothers and sisters, we need to pay attention to all of the things that God is allowing to happen in the world, so we can recognize our great need for God. On this Divine Mercy Sunday, I would like to conclude. Yes, I promise, I'm getting close to the conclusion. But I'd like to conclude with words that are written in St. Faustina's diary. She was the mystic who received the Divine Mercy revelations in the 1930s. And she wrote down these words that Jesus himself gave to her about Divine Mercy Sunday. And they're worth taking to heart and reflecting upon. This is what Jesus said. My daughter, tell the whole world about my unfathomable mercy. I desire that the Feast of Mercy be a refuge and a shelter for souls, especially for poor sinners. On that day, the very depths of my tender mercy are open. I pour out a whole ocean of graces upon those souls who approach the fount of my mercy. The soul that will go to confession and receive Holy Communion shall obtain complete forgiveness of sins and punishment. On that day are opened all the divine floodgates through which graces flow. Let no soul fear to draw near to me, even though its sins be as scarlet. My mercy is so great that no mind, be it of man or of angel, will be able to fathom it throughout all eternity. Everything that exists has come from the very depths of my most tender mercy. Every soul in its relation to me will contemplate my love and mercy throughout eternity. The Feast of Mercy emerged from my very depths of tenderness. It is my desire that it be solemnly celebrated on the first Sunday after Easter. And then Jesus said this: mankind will not have peace. Mankind will not have peace until it turns to the fount of my mercy. Brothers and sisters, there are many beautiful promises that our Lord articulates to us in Scripture, that of especially that those who are faithful to him will experience eternal life with him, that he will never leave his church. And he has articulated various promises through us over time, through his saints especially, that are promises that he indeed is going to keep. My dear brothers and sisters, let us trust in our Lord's promise of mercy, because he is a God who keeps his promises. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.